General Motors has decided to pull the plug on the Chevy Volt, at least for now. GM will halt production of the electric car for 5 weeks starting March 19th. That's after the company fell nearly 2,500 cars below its projected sales of 10,000 Chevy Volts last year, and Volt sales are lagging behind for 2012 as well. Joining us to talk about the fate of the Volt, which ironically was named Best European Car of the Year, and about the electric car industry in general, is Tim Higgins. He's an automotive correspondent for Bloomberg News. Tim, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Tim, would you start by telling us, in your view, why the Chevy Volt seems not to be selling very well?
Well, there's a couple issues are going on here. First of all, the company, General Motors, feels like it's had a string of negative publicity following a federal investigation into the safety of the car. There was a fire that was revealed back in November, and it took a couple of months to kind of look into that by the feds. And they were given a clean bill of health after that, but it resulted in a lot of negative headlines questioning the safety of the car. That was followed up by a congressional hearing, and then it's really kind of become a political punching bag, if you will, in the campaign season. Newt Gingrich is talking about it on the campaign trail, and it's gathering a lot of attention that's not positive.
And, of course, GM has launched an ad campaign to try to tamp down consumer fears about the car. Here's a piece of one of them.
There's been a lot of talk about the Chevy Volt lately. How about some facts? The Chevy Volt was one of the most awarded cars in 2011. The Volt's battery has been tested for more than 395,000 hours. And most importantly, the Volt has received the highest overall vehicle score for safety possible.
So, Tim Higgins, is it working? Are these ads convincing people to buy the Volt who might be disinclined to?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. January and February aren't necessarily the greatest times to be selling cars. That said, beyond the negative publicity, the Volt's also having another issue. It's an expensive car. It sells for around $40,000. You get a tax break, brings it down into the low 30s. When you look at that and then you look at the price savings on the gas that you'd be saving, some people have a hard time making the case for buying it.
And as I understand it, the Volt is not only expensive compared to regular gas-fueled cars, but also pricey in relation to other electric cars. Is that correct?
Well, you can get the Leaf, the Nissan Leaf, for about $27,000 after the tax breaks. But that car only goes on electricity, and it has about a range of about 70 miles, where GM will make the argument that the Volt, once its electricity runs out, if you will, it can then be powered by an electric motor that generates electricity for the car to be powered. And you can get a kind of a total range of about 379 miles. And if you're out on a road trip or something like that, you can go to a gas station and put in some fuel, and you're not stranded on the side of the highway looking for an electric plug.
You mentioned the car's range. You also made a reference to the fact that it is somewhat of a gas-electric hybrid. For people who aren't totally familiar with the Volt, can you explain again exactly how it works in terms of its gas and electricity components?
It is an interesting piece of technology. The first 30 miles or so, a little bit more, go on the electric motor, and then once you get past that, the gasoline motor will kick on to create more energy for the electric motor.
By halting production of the Volt temporarily, GM is basically trying to correct an oversupply problem. And as we mentioned, its projected sale of Volts last year was about 10,000 cars. Do you think that was an unrealistic sales projection? Is that part of the problem?
Well, some analysts would definitely say that their expectations are just a little too high for sales. GM even notes that when Toyota launched its Prius, it wasn't immediately knocking it out of the ballpark, if you will. It took a little while to start gaining sales momentum.
Another option for Chevy could have been to lower the price of the Volt and see if that would jumpstart sales. Do you think that would have been a wiser move, or would that create a different kind of PR problem?
They're trying to protect the brand of it. They've invested quite a bit of money. This is a project that they began even before bankruptcy. They don't want to diminish the vehicle's brand going forward by starting to put heavy discounts on it, something that kind of doesn't end well in the long run.
Tim Higgins of Bloomberg News. Not surprisingly, in an election year, the Volt has become a bit of a political topic. Here's Republican candidate Newt Gingrich making fun of the Chevy Volt.
You can't put a gun rack in a Volt. And there's a YouTube video of a guy in Atlanta who owns a Volt who put a gun rack in the trunk. But a friend of mine from Camilla, Georgia, who's a hunter, said, yeah, but where does the deer go?
I can't imagine GM was thrilled about that.
Well, no, they weren't. They actually put out a little blog item that says, well, you know, you can put a a gun rack in a Volt, but why would you want to? We have pickup trucks for that kind of thing. You know, we have if you want to go hunting, use a pickup truck. And so the GM finds themselves kind of in this position where they're taking political heat. And it's really not surprising. Just the other day, President Obama was talking about how he plans to buy a Volt when he's out of office. Of course, Obama helped GM survive in 2009 with the loans that kept the company afloat through bankruptcy, $50 billion, and the government still owns about 32% of GM.
And despite whatever problems the Chevy Volt might be having, it does seem like most or certainly many car manufacturers do have electric cars on their future agendas.
The Volt is this plug-in vehicle that has this ability to kind of get over range anxiety, and other automakers are taking note and coming out with vehicles that will be kind of somewhat similar to that. Ford will have a vehicle later this year. The Toyota Prius, in fact, will have a plug-in option in March. And these are going to be increased competition for the Volt. And in fact, Toyota is hoping to sell 15,000 of their plug-in Prius this year. That said, automakers are also making more fuel-efficient traditional gasoline engines, which provide competition to these electric cars. When people go into the showroom, they look at the Volt, which is selling for around $40,000, and a vehicle the same size and essentially made on the same platform. The Chevy Cruze sells for well under that. You can get a Cruze starting around $17,000, and those sales of that vehicle are just doing really well for GM. They were up 10% last month in the U.S.
Tim, did you just a bit ago use the expression range anxiety?
Yes, it's something that GM talks about, that they found in their research, the idea that if you have an electric car, it's only electric that you're going to be driving it, and then be worried about where are you going to charge it if you need to charge it. And in fact, I was talking to a gentleman in California a few weeks ago. He was in line to test a competitor's vehicle, and it was something he was very concerned about, was where he was going to plug this vehicle in on a regular basis. He was kind of finding all of the public charging stations that were around, and he was talking about having kind of a kit in his trunk where he could maybe jerry-rig the ability to charge and whatnot. And so that's, you know, a real concern. If you can't charge your vehicle, what are you going to do?
Sure. Fear you'll be in the middle of nowhere and your car will run out of electric juice.
Right.
Tim, do you think electric cars can survive without the $7,500 tax credit?
Well, as the technology goes forward, the price will come down. And you're already kind of seeing kind of the future of that. As more companies are planning to have this technology, it inevitably will result in a cheaper technology.
Tim Higgins is an automotive correspondent for Bloomberg News. Tim, thanks very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.